Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
David Cobb is a college basketball and college football writer for CBS Sports on X at David W. Cobb. And he's coming off his first Father's Day just like me. David, how was it? How was your first Father's Day?
Man, it was fantastic. And then I looked down at my phone and I had a text message from a buddy of mine that was like, wow, quite the Father's Day for Dave with this Desmond Bane trade, probably throwing him for a loop. And I was like, what? They traded Desmond Bane. And then, Gabe, I saw that they got four first-round picks
yeah.
for Desmond Bane.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, first off, I'm glad I'm not working the beat anymore because obviously if you're on the Grizzlies beat and you're a father and that happens on Father's Day, then that's what you're doing for the rest of the day. So shout out to Drew and to Michael, who I'm sure had their plans changed pretty quickly. But man, that was wild to see that. It didn't encompass my whole day, but it definitely threw me for a loop for about 20 minutes.
Yeah, did you get any good gifts? Any good Father's Day gifts? We'll talk about Dez in a second.
Yeah, you know, this is important. I got every flavor of Nerds gummy cluster.
Every flavor? I thought there was only one flavor. I thought it was like, because Nerds are like all different colors and they put them in the cluster. I didn't know that we were, they were specific.
Even still, yeah, you gotta up your Nerds gummy cluster game.
I guess so.
They have the traditional pink bag, they've got a blue bag, and now they have, for a limited time only, the grape strawberry blitz. Which is probably the best kind because the Nerds that assemble those gummy clusters, they're like the original Nerds. They're like the ones that we ate as kids. And so it really tastes like a memory. So those were good. I haven't eaten them all yet. So that was the brunt of my gift because we're actually about to buy a house too. So,
trying to
watch the money and stuff.
Yeah. Shout out to my wife. She set the bar high for Father's Day. Days to come. I got a brand new grill coming on Friday. Just in time for me to, since I'm in the house more, I told Connor this off the top of the show, I can make grilling and smoking my entire personality going forward.
I love it. You're at this stage of life. I think that's a valid obsession to get into at this stage.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go pork butt first. I'm not ready for the full, I'm not ready for like the brisket or anything like that. I'm going to start simple.
Well, What I'm hearing is that you're going to enter Barbecue Fest next year.
No, that's not what you're hearing. You wrong read. Wrong read on the situation.
Okay.
Speaking of wrong reads, though, and this is a great transition, talk about Desmond Bane. It feels like a lot of people in national media have the wrong read of what the Grizzlies just did. There is this thought out there from a lot of national pundits, and they're batting zero. They have not gotten a hit, a single, or a double on this situation yet. It could be Colin Cowherd, Kevin O'Connor, Brian Windhorst. There seems to be this thought that they're like going to keep selling off assets and rebuild completely from the ground up. That is the last thing I thought of when I saw this trade go through yesterday.
No, yeah, I'm agreeing with you because you think about it, like the Grizzlies have been pretty good for several years in a row I mean, obviously this season ended the way it ended. It was disappointing. But you're talking about, I mean, absent, you know, last season when you just had all the injuries, you know, if you take that out of the equation, you got four playoff appearances in a row. And with that in the equation, you got four playoff appearances in 5 years. So, I mean, Ja and Jaren, those two alone, if they can stay healthy, which I, you know, is obviously a big if, like, you're still a playoff caliber team, especially if you're going to get some quality minutes, at least from KCP. I'll be interested to see what Cole Anthony provides, but I think KCP is some of that toughness, perimeter defense that's been missing. Now, he's not even close to the level of offensive firepower that you're losing with Desmond Bane,
sure.
But, you know, if Vince Williams can come back and give you something, and if Jalen Wells can take a second year jump, you know, if John Morant can stay on the court, well, there's a lot of ifs here. But yeah, I mean, they still have the pieces to be relevant. And then, I mean, maybe there is another move, but I don't necessarily envision that other move being selling off another star. I see that other move maybe being using some of what you've compiled through this trade to acquire somebody else who could really help you. If not, you're kind of dual tracking. You're kind of setting yourself up to build for the future while still trying to remain competitive in the present. And like, that's just not something that computes in most people's minds nowadays, because it's either you either rip it down to the studs and start from scratch, or you're trading for like an all NBA caliber guy who can go and win you a title next year. The Grizzlies didn't necessarily do either of those things with this move, and I think that's confusing for some people.
Yeah, now, you're an NBA draft guy. You cover college basketball. I'm curious what you think going into next year. So they have the 16th pick this year. Maybe you have some ideas of some names that could be there. But next year is the one I'm very interested in. The 2026 NBA draft, they have a Phoenix pick that could be very, very good. Like, next year's draft, what, like, on the surface, how good of a draft do you think it will be, and how exciting could a pick in that draft be in the lottery?
Well, you just bought yourself a ticket for the A.J. DeBanta sweepstakes.
Right.
I mean, that's what it is. He's viewed by many people as a more exciting prospect than Cooper Flagg, and we're all seeing the hype around Cooper Flagg. Consensus number one, not even a debate, you know. And so we're talking about A.J. DeBanta, who's going to go to BYU, which I know sounds weird, but like, just keep in mind, this is the NIL era, you know. BYU has money, so he's going to BYU, a guy who historically would have gone to play for Cal at Kentucky or gone to play for Coach K at Duke. He's going to BYU, but like, you just bought yourself a ticket into that lottery, because I mean, especially if the Suns trade KD, like, they're going to be terrible. I mean, they might have some of the best odds to have the number one pick. That pick might be a really good one. So, and then, I mean, I think from everything I've heard and seen and kind of read, this next year's draft in 26 stacks up very, very well relative to any draft we've had the last, you know, 5 years or so. So it's A.J. DeBanta and then kind of everyone else. But the everyone else category in that is still pretty good, because, you know, you're talking about some guys that are going to Duke, and like Jaden Quaintance, for example, who he's going to play at Kentucky this year, but he could be a lottery pick. He could be a 2.5 blocks per game guy in the NBA, that sort of length and size. So that's going to be a good draft in 26. And then it's funny, the Grizzlies getting the number 16 pick for this year. I was actually working on a mock draft for the last few days, and I just got to where the Grizzlies are picking in this mock, and man, I you know, it's, they could go a lot of direction, but I got them going with Cedric Coward, a really long and rangy wing with a lot of defensive upside who shoots the three pretty well. So, you know,
that sounds
the
right.
Sort of three,
that sounds
three
like
and
the
archetype.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I was thinking about this too with trading Desmond Bane. And I know some people, it's not a fully original thought, but it was something that came to my mind. How much is it a vote of confidence to Jalen Wells and what he could be going in the future? Obviously, you saw him on the first team all-rookie team and what he could be. Obviously, got hurt at the end of the year. We know that. But I felt like this was a bit of a vote of confidence to what they have in Jalen Wells and what he could give them offensively, three-point shooting, all that.
You know, I'm just so hesitant to try and read exactly what it means for the rest of the roster, because we've seen Zach Kleiman get into the wheeling and dealing mode, and the entire roster could look significantly different, you know, in 2 months going into training camp than it does right now. So, you know, obviously, like, I think Jalen Wells is a part of their future. But when you think about, you know, Luke Kennard going into unrestricted free agency and Desmond Bane going out, you're going to have somebody who can shoot it at a high clip. Jalen Wells seems to be the one who checks that box because, I mean, KCP can shoot it all right, but he's not like a, you know, he's not an elite shooter. Cole Anthony's not a great shooter. We don't really know what Vince Williams is going to give him. So it feels to me like a pretty big vote of Jalen Wells as a shooter because you're just going to, you're going to have to recoup some of that 3-point marksmanship with Luke Kennard and Desmond Bane both going out the door. I mean, that would be kind of my read of the situation.
For sure. All right. Now, Pete Thamel wrote an interesting article for ESPN, and this was yesterday with Kyle Bonagura. It was about Pac-12, media rights, realignment in general, among some other things. You have Texas State as a heavy favorite to join the Pac-12. Louisiana Tech is the favorite to replace Texas State and the Sun Belt if they ultimately end up in the Pac-12. But he did approach what's next for Memphis. And for Memphis, he says there's no immediate intrigue from the ACC or the Big 12, from a big power conference for Memphis to join. But he did leave the idea open that we've discussed on this show, and it's been discussed on 92.9 on multiple occasions, the Pac-12 Big East idea, where you would be a Pac-12 member in football, and then for the rest of your sports, you'd be in the Big East, including basketball, which I think helps pretty drastically. But he said that won't be expected to seriously be discussed until 2027-28. But that's at least we got some type of idea that the sort of Pac-12 Big East thing is on the minds of people that are making decisions at the University of Memphis, people that are making decisions in college athletics. That's a cool thing to hear.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you have a positive takeaway from this story, because it seems like some people out there are fixating on the fact that, oh wow, Memphis doesn't have any immediate interest from, you know, the Big 12 or the ACC. That's not shocking.
That's what
new.
We knew yesterday and the day before and a year ago and 10 years ago. It's the same thing. I don't know why you have to view that negatively now. I mean, we know that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I could have told you that a long time ago. And also, I mean, the fate was sort of sealed there when Florida State and Clemson dropped their lawsuits against the ACC, you know, because that signaled the ACC is going to be intact. It's going to continue, at least for the foreseeable future, as a whole entity, and they're not going to be needing to backfill. So that sort of took Memphis out of the equation there, at least until their TV rights deal is up in 2036 or whatever. So honestly, I think it's pretty incredible, because you mentioned it, man. We've been talking about this idea for a while of a split membership for Memphis, and I think it makes a lot of sense. I think the idea puts them on the cutting edge of this new wave of college athletics, because I think there's a real strong possibility that as college sports continues to get remade in the next decade plus, you could see different schools have different sports and different conferences. It just makes sense for football to be treated differently than basketball, and then especially from every other non-revenue sport. I would say even including, at some level, baseball and softball. It really doesn't make any sense to me for UCLA baseball to be flying across the country to play Rutgers under any circumstances. With the Tigers potentially being in the Pac-12 for football, you'd have to make a big travel commitment.
Sure.
But you're only doing that four times a year for one sport. That's so much more logical than doing it, you know, multiple times a year in every sport. And then basketball obviously gets a massive, much needed upgrade going to the Big East. So obviously that's a theory. It's a possibility. It's still out there a decent ways. But the fact that it's even on the table, I take that as an encouraging sign.
That's what I'm saying. I can't view this in a negative way. I understand Memphis fans, you're jaded. Like you're if you're out there listening to me and you're like, why is he being so positive about this? You're jaded. I'm trying to look at the positive side of things. And if I'm looking at the positive side of things, there's an obvious acknowledgement from the University of Memphis that, hey, if we can get out of this AAC, we'll do it. We just need the right opportunity. And the fact that there's Pac-12 officials discussing, okay, we can be open to the idea of Memphis as a Pac-12 only school. That's fine. And also, if you're one that's like, well, why didn't they jump at the first go around when the Pac-12 offered this? Well, one, that would have been all sports. Two, the financial commitment would have been too much. And, you know, even with an exit fee. And three, you still didn't know at that time what their TV deal would be. You don't know what the revenue is going to look like. At least this way, if you're not going to visit this till 2027, 28, and it's a real possibility then, the Pac-12 will likely have signed all the TV deals you need. You will know and have clarity on what you're actually getting by the time you get there in football. So, like, I understand Memphis fans are jaded, but at the same time, I didn't view this report in any other way but positive. That's how just from where I was sitting.
Well, you know, I also think it puts a little pressure on the basketball program. You know, the Big East is a good league. You know, they're not going to just extend an invitation to anybody. They're not just going to give Memphis an invite because, you know, they've been to a couple of Final Fours in the last, you know, 75 years. Like, they, right. You know, I think Memphis basketball, men's basketball has got to go out there and have a couple of nice seasons to sort of justify receiving an invitation from the Big East. Because the Big East is going to look at that from a value perspective and standpoint and say, well, all right, if we add Memphis, what can they then bring to us? Because right now the Big East is the only league in high major college basketball that has a true round robin. Every team in that league plays every other team in that league twice. You know, that's a balanced schedule that their coaches really like. And so, you know, there are some things there that, like, I'm a little curious about. Like, I do wonder, like, will Memphis have to make some concessions to make that potential partnership, you know, come to reality? I mean, think about it, man. Like, that's a really good basketball.
It is.
I'm not saying Memphis wouldn't be worthy of an invitation to it, but they really value that sort of symmetry and whatever that they have in terms of their schedule. They're the only high major, you know, conference who has that symmetry. And I think that's, you know, ideally, if you're the Big East, you boot DePaul. Like, you would take Memphis over DePaul in a heartbeat. Like, there's no questions asked, but you add another team that then, you suddenly have a scheduling equation to figure out. And Memphis, I think, would have to prove that it's worthy of that headache.
I don't know, David. I think they've proved it, right? Like, I think they've proved it in the past. I think they proved it last year. I think they've proved it historically.
Well,
I mean, obviously, obviously, you don't want to run out there and go 0-18 in the AAC the next 2 years, but that's not going to happen. You know, as long as I feel like Memphis – I don't know if I would agree with you that they have more to prove to the Big East that they belong in that conference in basketball.
Keep it going on the same trajectory you're on now. I mean, at least get to the NCAA tournament or be one of the last ones left out. You know, just be in the hunt, be relevant, be good. That's what I'm saying. But that's more pressure than they've had, because I think to a certain extent the Pac-12, you know, it's. I think it's easier for the Pac-12 to say, yeah, we'll take Memphis in a heartbeat, right? Like, that makes sense for the Pac-12. The Pac-12 is in a more desperate position trying to become a viable conference. Memphis, you know, has a quality football program that would add value to that football product. You know, Memphis, from the men's basketball standpoint, you're talking about the Big East. Again, I mean, it's a quality.
Right.
I know this isn't the Big East of 20 years ago that had Syracuse and, you know, whatever, but, like, it's still a conference with a lot of pride, a lot of geographical sort of historic rivalries that still exist there. So, you know, I'm just saying, like, you want to have your Sunday best on if that league's going to court you.
Okay. I mean, I'm with you. I feel like with, you know, Rick Pitino's talked about it in the past, Memphis would be a good addition. I think there's other coaches within that, you know, conference that already think Memphis would be a good addition. I'm not saying they wouldn't have to make concessions. I'm not sure about what the Big East commissioner thinks about the University of Memphis. But, you know, I feel like these wheels have been turning for a minute. So, like, the idea of Memphis in the Big East is still sort of on the forefront of all their minds. And I believe Dan Wolken reported that in September, Memphis engaged the Big East about the possibility of joining the league in basketball and all other sports except for football. So, like, I feel like the wheels have been turning enough to where they could figure something out before the time we get – before we get to 27-28.
Well, to me, that's a best-case scenario. I think it would be a great outcome. I think Memphis should do, you know, everything that it is – you know, everything within financial reason to make that happen. Financially, you know, that's why Memphis didn't go to the Pac-12 in the first place. They got to make sure it makes sense financially. But just think about it from a fan excitement perspective. You get the football matchups with the teams that are going to be in that Pac-12. Oh, my gosh. And then from a men's basketball standpoint, how much easier is it going to be to sell tickets to you know, these Big East games,
right,
in theory, than it would have been, you know, than it is right now to sell it for the AAC. I mean, it's just night and day. There's no comparison.
They're just getting absolutely killed in the AAC financially. And it's not like their two main sports are bad. Like, they have good products. It's just they're getting absolutely killed with ticket sales just because it's horrid. It's horrid who's coming into the FedEx Forum, who's coming into Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. You can't, as much as this fan base is engaged more in football, as historically engaged as they've been in basketball, you got to give them a reason to show up to the game instead of watching it on TV. And UAB doesn't have that pull anymore. North Texas certainly doesn't have that pull. And those are the two. Those are two good teams on the basketball side and on the football. Well, not on the football side with UAB, but you know, they trend to the top of the conference in both sports.
Well, and I think on the basketball side too, that's where this era of, you know, look, Penny's had no choice. He's had to go portal heavy. He had to flip the formula a little bit and stop relying so much on freshman talent like he was in the beginning. That's just the way the game has gone. But I think the price that you also pay for that is you don't have that buzz and that excitement. I mean, historically speaking, during the Cal era, during the Pastner era, during the first couple of years of Penny, right now, in the month of June, we'd be on here talking about the Memphis Tigers incoming class of freshman basketball.
Sure.
Players. We're not doing that anymore. So we're not building the excitement. The excitement and the ticket sales and all the buzz is not built for basketball in the same way that it was before. Because, look, even when Memphis basketball was in Conference USA in the early 2000s and Cal was running that league, I mean, the matchups were crap then. The teams coming into the Pyramid and the Forum were terrible. But they still sold tickets at a pretty high clip because everybody was excited about the roster and the players and the success of the program. And this program is still successful now. The matchups still stink. The difference is the types of players you're bringing in. They don't generate that buzz, that excitement. And that, again, I'm not blaming Penny Hardaway for that. I'm just pointing that out.
Yeah.
That's just a difference in the era that we live in now. And that also does not help with the attendance issues.
For sure. All right, now on to a fun conversation to end this. To end your segment with J.J. Spahn, is he the people's champ? Wins the U.S. Open at 1-under, 64-foot putt on 18 to go ahead and win it. He only had a 2-putt. He said, screw it, I'll put it in a 1. Is he the people's champ?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, dude, he's 5'8". He's got short arms. Yeah, man, he could be any of us, you know? He could be any of us out there. That was awesome. I know some people love to see 18-under, 23-under, you know, some people hate to see the course sort of
the course
have its
got
way.
Really nasty though. I mean, with the rain and everything else. What was it, Adam Scott on 15 hitting out of just what I would hit out of if I just, you know, showed up to a municipal course here at the or here in Memphis. I mean, I guess it's kind of relatable, but damn, I don't know if pros should be subject to those conditions.
I don't know, man. I really enjoyed having so many players in the mix. At the end of the day, like J.J. Spahn birdied the last two holes. That drive he hit on 17 to that par 4, it was beautiful. And then to make it with the bomb. And then I thought it was crazy, wasn't it? Victor Hovland gave him a perfect read. You know, his second shot was right there, and so he gave him a perfect read on that putt. And Spahn just seems like a cool guy too. He was talking to his press conference afterwards. He was like, you know, this time last year, I was about to lose my job. Like, he was going to lose his PGA Tour card. And then he all of a sudden finds his confidence in himself and wins the U.S. Open. I love it.
And got his health.
I know some people
got his health right, too.
For sure. You know, like, some people need John Rahm or Scheffler to be in the mix to, like, be engaged, you know, during the final round of a major. But I like seeing the underdog win every now and then. You know, same reason you root for Murray State in the College World Series. Racers didn't get it done, but J.J. Spahn did. That was cool.
Yeah, and I also, it was at Tyrrell Hatton. Did you see his walk-off interview while J.J. Spahn was on 18? That was funny. Oh, my gosh, he's holding. He's holding. Unbelievable. But, yeah, that was really fun. It was a fun Sunday, no doubt, and active with the Desmond Bane stuff. But you know what?
Yeah. Hey.
Go ahead.
I would love to hear more of your Tyrrell Hatton accent in the future, Gabe.
Okay, maybe. You just have to request it. It's on special request. Okay. I don't know. I don't know if I can
It was good. That was pretty good.
I don't know.
I always wonder if you practice that, you know?
I stood in front of the mirror this morning, knowing that this conversation would come up with David Cobb today. But David, I appreciate it, man.
That's why you're the best. That's why you're a pro, Gabe. I appreciate it, man. Thanks.
Of course. Have a good one. He's David Cobb at David W. Cobb on X. College basketball, college football writer from CBS Sports. And he's brought to you by my good friends over at Oxbow. I hope you got over to Oxbow for Father's Day. They have so many different gifts that you could have brought home. But we're past that. We're past that. But they always have what you're looking for. No matter if it's, you know, a timeless classic, if it's genteel polo, if it's a Martin Dingman belt, if it's poncho fishing gear, they have everything over there at Oxbow. Heart and soul go into every detail. They believe shopping should feel personal. They have trending brands, timeless classics, like I mentioned already. They're proud to bring Memphis a curated mix of gear that fits your lifestyle. The names, mentioned a couple already, but let's get back into it. Genteel, Sitka, Mizzen & Main, Martin Dingman, Yeti, Poncho, Duckhead, Filson, Howler Brothers, Free Fly, and more, all under one roof. You're going to love what you see when you get over to Oxbow. And if you need a gift that feels like Memphis, build your own 901 care package in store. Oxbow, Memphis made, and Memphian approved. You can find them at 964 June Road, off Poplar on June Road, behind the Amoco Station, or go online at shopoxbow.com. That's shop OXBEAU.com. Oxbow is anchored in Memphis. Now we need to go ahead and talk some NBA Finals. Oklahoma City Thunder win game 4. I know that the fourth quarter, sort of up in the air right now. A lot of people were complaining about the officiating. We'll discuss that. But game 5's coming up tonight. Who's going to win? We talk about it on the other side. Game 5 of the NBA Finals is tonight. It'll be right here on 92.9 FM ESPN, but it'll be on ABC on the tube. Tonight at 7:30 on 92.9 FM ESPN. You'll have pregame at 7 o'clock right after I get off. Tip will be again at 7:30. Who wins tonight on Oklahoma City's home floor? We shall see. Oklahoma City -9.5. That is the line, pretty substantial. Now, I want to rewind to game 4, where...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up. But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The Thunder end up winning 111-104 behind a 31-17 fourth quarter. It was the first time, I think, in this series where we really saw the Pacers flail around in a fourth quarter. And there were certain things about the way they played and not the way the Thunder played that gave me pause. I thought that they really tried to force things offensively that weren't there. I feel like when we look at the way that they rely upon Tyrese Halliburton, a three ball, finding open space in the fourth quarter, they didn't quite find that. They need to rely on Pascal Siakam going forward in the series when they get into those half-court battles. But I will give the Oklahoma City Thunder credit. You have SGA. He had 35 points. I thought he was phenomenal, 12 for 24, 10 for 10 from the line. The Thunder, though, as a whole, won this game despite shooting 3 for 16 from 3. Now, what I will say is that seems like it should favor the Thunder going forward, but I think the word seems is a problem in this series. It seemed like the Thunder were going to be able to hold on to game one. It seemed like the Knicks were going to be able to hold on to games one and two against this Pacers team. Seems gets you in trouble against this Indiana Pacers team. But what came into question in that fourth quarter was the officiating and Scott Foster in particular. SGA with about 2 minutes and 23 seconds left to give the Thunder the lead 104-103 seemed to push off and seemed to travel. Now, I want to put one to bed almost immediately. By the look and the lay of the law in the National Basketball Association, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander did not travel. Grabbed the ball. He had his gather step, two steps, puts up a mid-range, knocks it in. Now, conversely, I will bring up the push-off. It was a push-off. It was a push-off. I don't doubt that in the slightest. Do you call it there? Do you not call it there? We can debate that till the cows come home. I don't really know if you call it there. But I will say, with that push-off, we've celebrated push-offs in the past. You look at Brian Russell and MJ and the shot. That was a push-off. Now, would I have called that on MJ? Probably not. Just like I probably wouldn't have called it on SGA. I think in both of those situations, the level of push did not equal the way that the defender fell around and flopped around. With Brian Russell against MJ, gives him a little bit of a shove. He goes flying because he was off balance already because MJ was in the process of taking him off the dribble. With SGA on Friday night, I looked at it. I have looked at the film on several occasions. Do you know what happened to Aaron Nesmith and why the push or the shove looked way worse than it was? Aaron Nesmith tripped over SGA's feet. They got tangled up. That's why SGA tripped on his step back and why you thought it looked like a travel on the back end. So I personally had no issue with that. I know there's a lot of people out there going after Scott Foster. I thought Rick Carlisle tried to put that to bed yesterday when he did his media availability. I think there's one thing that remains true about Scott Foster. The media and the public view of Scott Foster is so far from what the NBA player and coach view is of Scott Foster. Most of the coaches think he's a phenomenal official. But the public, my gosh, they put him in the Tim Donaghy category. Now, was he caught up in a little bit of that? Sure, yeah, he was back in the day. Never obviously arose to the occasion when we're talking about comparing him to Tim Donaghy, but his name came up in a lot of those things. But in the end of the day, I think that the public and the media perception of Scott Foster is drastically different than what actually happens with players and coaches. But I want to be clear about this. Whatever you think of the call at 2:23, that is not why the Thunder won that game. They won because the Pacers peed directly down their leg late for the first time in these entire playoffs. Halliburton, where was he offensively? Airballed a three, got a three blocked, didn't get a shot up in that situation. Miles Turner was nowhere to be found. He airballed a three late in that game. Like I said to start this conversation, I thought they turned away from Pascal Siakam when he was the one key to keeping them in that game in the fourth quarter. When you get into a half-court battle, you need someone who can operate a face-up game, who can slow it down a little bit for you, who can go create their own shot. I thought they turned away from Siakam too early, and that's the biggest issue they had in game four down the stretch. It wasn't officiating, wasn't Scott Foster, wasn't a push-off, wasn't a travel. I thought the Pacers lost that game their damn selves. And to say anything different, I think is, quite frankly, absolutely foolish. They played horribly in that fourth quarter. And don't forget that. Go watch back the tape. It was really bad offensively, defensively, whatever facet of the game, they didn't execute well enough.
At the end of the day, I think SGA played one of the best quarters of his career and maybe the most important quarter of his career. It was a huge quarter for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and he stepped up in that fourth quarter, put the team on his back, and went out and won an NBA Finals game on the road against a team that had been giving him fits the entire series. Even in this game, in game four, before that fourth quarter, if they lost that game, the conversation would have been, where was SGA in it? Where was SGA? Yep. And in that fourth quarter, he played like the MVP. He was phenomenal. The Thunder were phenomenal. They executed down the stretch. And for the first time, like you said, in these playoffs, the Pacers looked a little bit lost in that fourth quarter. You didn't lose that game because of a single call that Scott Foster made.
And to be clear, the free throw, there wasn't much of a disparity. Right. 38 free throws on one side, right. 33 on the
now,
other.
Now, I still think that the Thunder get a beneficial whistle.
Sure.
There's no doubt about it. But the Pacers and other teams have shown in the playoffs that you can beat the Thunder even when they're getting that whistle. The whistle's not why the Thunder won game four. The Indiana Pacers could not hit shots down the road. They were turning the ball over. They couldn't get Siakam the ball. And the Thunder defended extremely well and executed maybe the best they have the entire series in that fourth quarter. And it was SGA just cooking you in the mid-range, cooking you.
And, you know, when we talk about the whistle, no one wants to talk about the real facts of the free throw disparity and what happened in that game. The Thunder took 38 free throws, made 34 of them. They hit 90% of their free throws. The Pacers took 33 and hit 75%. And also, let's not forget a factor. It's a 5-free-throw disparity. That's not big. That's normal. That's really right down the middle. Let's also not forget the Thunder only took 16 threes to the Pacers' 36. The Thunder were trying to get into the paint, attack a little bit more, and finish around the rim. So people can do the Scott Foster thing, call him the extender, try and make this some officiating gaffe. It wasn't that at all. I was using my eyeballs the same way you were. Sometimes a team that you love in the Pacers versus a team that a lot of people don't like in the Thunder, sometimes that team that's come through more often than they haven't doesn't come through. You don't have to make it a grand conspiracy. You don't have to make it, well, the Thunder were getting a beneficial whistle like they always do, and Scott Foster, he's the modern-day Tim Donaghy. You don't have to do that every time something doesn't go your way. The Pacers lost that game their damn selves, and I need people to acknowledge it. Now, let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. When we come back, I need to talk about the people's champ of the U.S. Open at Oakmont, J.J. Spahn. Stick around. Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Now, the U.S. Open at Oakmont took place over the weekend, and J.J. Spahn ends up winning it at 1-under. And on 18, it was one of the most impressive closes to a major championship victory that I've ever seen. He had the 2-putt to win on 18, and J.J. Spahn said, nah, I'll just do it now. From 64 feet out, wins his first major championship, the U.S. Open, 1-under, wins by 2 strokes. And he did it, nonetheless, on Father's Day. And what's so cool about yesterday and the U.S. Open and J.J. Spahn winning, he started his day being a father. He opened his day at CVS because his daughter was throwing up uncontrollably at 3 a.m. Had to show up, pick up some meds, take care of his daughter to start the day. But the resiliency is what got me. This is why he's the people's champ. Yesterday, after having to get up that early, see his daughter throwing up at 3 a.m., get her meds, he starts off 5-over through the first 6 holes of the day and drops back to outside of the top 5. He battled back through a rainstorm in some of the worst conditions I've seen in a major championship in my lifetime. Battles back, wins it with a 64-foot putt. And then you just go back to J.J. Spawn's career. Not only last year was he, you know, really on the precipice of falling out and losing his tour card and all that, but J.J. Spawn's had some serious medical issues in the past, I don't know, decade since he's been on the tour. He lost 40 pounds from 2017 to 2021. He dropped to 584 in the world golf rankings. Doctors told him he had type 2 diabetes, but he kept losing weight even when they gave him the idea that he had type 2 diabetes, only to find out 2 years later he had type 1 diabetes, so he was treating it wrong. And now he's a top 25 player in the official world golf ranking and a U.S. Open champion. That's a lot of resiliency.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
And you know what? That's a hell of a comeback. And it's something that we can all applaud. We can all applaud. Very, very happy for the People's Champ. J.J. Spawn getting his first major victory in the U.S. Open on a Father's Day that started pretty rough with his daughter throwing up at 3 a.m., him having to go to CVS to go pick up some meds. But very relatable, very fun from J.J. Spawn this weekend. Now let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. Now we're number three. We'll be taking place next. And this guy's going to be speaking at the Memphis Touchdown Club in about an hour, but he's carved out some time for us right now. We bring on Roman Harper.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.